morning and another dream. Yesterday goes away, leaving only half a memory. Yesterday.
That was the Greenberry Woods and Super Geek. That's compared to the fact that, did you know that Andy Taley produced that album? I guess I think he did. It says it is Here we go. Taley was a staff producer at Fire Records, producing albums for artists such as Brian Wilson, Jonathan Richmond, NRBQ, John Wesley Harding, the Greenberry Woods, and Jerry Lee Lewis. Yes, the Greenberry Woods. So there. Anyway, yeah, this is from Big Money Item, released on Sire Records in 1995. Before they were Giles and Fripp Gills. Giles, Fripp, and Giles. And Thursday Morning, Just George. From the cheerful sounding of Giles, and Fripp. Before they were the Scruffs. And This Thursday. From Wanna Meet the Scruffs. Released in 1977. Yeah, 1977. We heard Jeff Beck Band in Job by Thursday from UPP, released in 1973. Before that, we heard David Bowie in Thursday's Child, the radio edit from Brilliant Adventure, compilation of songs recorded from 1992 to 2001. That was released in 2021, by the way. We heard R. Stevie Moore and This Wednesday from Hobbies Galore, released in 2003. We heard The Undertones and Wednesday Week from Teenage Kicks, the very best of The Undertones. We heard, before they heard Status Quo and April, Spring, Summer, and Wednesdays from the classic album Ma Kelly's Greasy Spoon. That was like the first album where they reinvented themselves as a blues boogie band. It was originally released in 1970, but that was from the 2003 remaster. And we started things off with the Royal Guardsman and Any Wednesday from the compilation album Anthology. Anyway, it's 43 minutes past the hour, so we probably should get to the New Music Express before we fall too far behind. Let's do that. Cue the music. Oh, here we go. Yeah. Cue the intro. And now, the New Music Express on the next show. And this week we have new music from Kim Deal, Father John Misty, Opeth, among other things, Simon Jordan is another one. So, yeah, we have some new stuff coming out this week. First, we're going to release this an album released by Kim Deal, formerly of the Pixies. Oh, I guess she is still in the Pixies. But anyway, yeah, Kim Deal has released a new album. This is called Nobody Loves You More.
I mean to tell you Optimist. Swears hope dies last, and shoots the lamplight clean from the brake man's hand. It's always the darkest right before the end. By the light of the moon, 4 hours to the desert from the drawing room. This year's wine tasted suspicious, but just enough like love. God must be with the outcast, since when I call, you come. Laid out, won't have to beg mercy for defeat. Just drop your hands the way love taught you, ash white and voodoo, deathless as a weed.
A cloud to kiss you. sun laughs out loud because I miss you. Oh, I forgive you. Reflection in a pool, I forgive you too. When I'm feeling old, I forgive you. For hiding all the gold, I'll forgive you. Oh, I miss you. Oh, how I miss you. I let go of my pain so I could free you. Whenever I say your name, I if only I could show you through my eyes how it felt to spend a moment in your life. Behind the bedroom door, it frightens her with the paramour.
When she severs his tongue, he grows two more.
The devil's wife, the devil's wife, she can't dance to save her life. The devil's wife, the devil's wife, who gazes at the letter of night, with sorrow and grief, who speaks aright. The devil's wife. She traps him in this contradiction until he's left without conviction.
The devil's wife.
As he makes foolishness of wisdom, she manacles him inside a system as he wails in pain and plays the victim.
The devil's wife.
Then as he sits paralyzed by the evil spell that she's devised, he feels criticized. And as he sits there moribund, she shoots him with his own gun while sleeping with his only son.
The devil's wife, the devil's wife, she can't dance to save her life. The devil's wife, the devil's wife, her gaze is at the letter of night, with sorrow and grief, her streets are right. The devil's wife.
Yes, that was New Music Express. I don't think we have the music bed here. That's unfortunate. Okay, here we go. We're gonna use for the music bed. Oh, last night we'll use it. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, we heard the Coward Brothers, Elvis Costello, and T-Bone Burnett, and the Devil's Wife, from their self-titled album, released on Friday, I think. Yeah. Before that, we heard Simon Joyner, and the title track from Coyote Butterfly, also released on Friday. We heard Father John Misty and Screamland. From Mahana. Released on, I think, also on Friday. And we started things off with Kim Deal and the title track from Nobody Loves You More. So yeah, that was interesting. So yeah, we only got like four songs in. Could have played more. But yeah, I guess that's pretty much all we got in there. It's 6 minutes past the hour, so we'll probably get to the, top of the hour IDs. So anyway, if you want to join us in the chat, you can join. If you want to join us in the IRC, you can join us at gamebird.ehhh.us. Channel Pound Skyscanner. You can also join us on the web at thenextshow.com. Replace the O with a zero. For a playlist of show archives, the archives will be up almost immediately after the show ends. The playlist, however, will not be updated for about 24 hours or so. You can also join us at lowbudgetreviews.com for low-budget DVD and Blu-ray reviews. I should watch Thanksgiving week, so I should watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I think I'll do that. Yeah. I have a DVD. I can do that. Anyway. You amazingly enough survived hour number two of this week's The Next Show. We'll be back with hour number three of the show featuring... Oh, yeah. Mandatory Mail at midnight. Close to midnight, anyway. And the featured artist, The Hold Steady, will have that right after this.
Praise you!
I love you, Dish Nuts, because when we first started Tech TV in 1998, that was about the only people who could watch. Radio Free Dish Nuts. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey-ho, Kermit the Frog here. Listen to the Tom and Daryl Show on Friday night.
Starting at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Pacific Time.
One red Solo cup.
Red Solo cup.
One slightly illegal transmitter. And one homebrew antenna. Live from Minneapolis, Minnesota, you're listening to Radio Free Solo Cup.
Craving a mix of music, banter, and the latest buzz? Clay and Rachie have you covered, from classic throwbacks to today's hottest hits. They're breaking down the week's news and what's happening in the IRC. It's the world according to Clay and Rachie. Your midweek dose of tunes, talk, and good vibes. Tune in every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central and turn it up, because your Wednesday nights just got a whole lot more awesome. Catch them on the RFD Network.
The left-wing media is collapsing, and it is spectacular. Notorious conspiracy theorist CNN is set for, quote, hundreds of layoffs, including on-screen talent. Associated Press is laying off 8% of its global workforce. Rumors are floating that MSNBC could even be sold for parts as ratings plunge 50% since the election. So why is left-wing media collapsing? Easy, the audience does not trust them. We just came off the mother of gaslights trying to convince the American people that Kamala is joyful and competent, while Donald Trump will literally dictator your uterus. Americans are not buying it. Gallup reports that American trust in media has fallen just 31%. As recently as 2004, most Americans did trust the media. In the 1970s, three-quarters trusted the media. This matters because for decades, media control of the narrative, the gaslight industrial complex, has so terrified conservatives that whatever backbone they once had is long gone. From government shutdowns to spending cuts to welfare, for the able-bodied to immigration amnesty, the GOP would campaign right, then flip left, or kiss their jobs goodbye from a vengeful media. So those days are over. And how did we get here? In the beginning of our republic, newspapers were party organs, essentially political ads. By 1900, they grew into an oligarchy of three men: Joseph Pulitzer, left-wing Democrat; Randolph Hearst, who started left but turned conservative; and Frank Gannett, a conservative. As their power grew, the government started censoring the news, with Woodrow Wilson using World War I as the excuse. He threatened Hearst with the Espionage Act and Sedition Act and intercepted conservative newspapers using the post office. In the 1930s, FDR did it again, censoring anti-New Deal newspapers before the war, then using radio and TV licenses to blackmail opponents. There was literally an office of censorship. After the war, this was codified by the FCC into the so-called Fairness Doctrine that allegedly balanced coverage, but in reality amounted to a political commissar. out of self-preservation, broadcasters took the pro-government position, meaning the Democrat position. A seminal moment was the conservative New York Times raiding the newsroom of the Communist Village Voice in the 1960s. So by the end of the 60s, the media was a near left-wing monoculture with Walter Cronkite and then Dan Rather the tip of the spear. And then the tide turned. The first wave was Ronald Reagan, who ended the Fairness Doctrine in 1987. Within a year, a small-time DJ in Kansas City decided to start talking about politics. Hundreds more followed Rush Limbaugh into the breach. From talk radio, alternative media graduated to the Internet starting in 1994. Then social media, which started in 2004 with Facebook and 2006 with Twitter. They were originally censorship-free, meaning they favored the conservative media. Of course, the empire struck back, purging conservatives starting in 2014, so mid-Obama, and ramping it up under Trump since the establishment panicked that they were losing control. That censorship, of course, was single-handedly reversed by Elon Musk, bringing us to today, where alt media from Twitter, now X, to Tucker and Joe Rogan, two citizen journalists on the ground in North Carolina, or in the bars with Veritas, are wiping out legacy media. So it's next, brought to you by Unchained.com. Media has been called the fourth branch of government. In many ways, it's the most powerful because it shapes the voters. The collapse of left-wing media means we are about to get a tectonic shift in America, in fact in global, politics towards more populism, more conservatism, and a smaller and more responsive government. Read the rest of the article at profstanons.com. Okay, we'll be watching. See you next time.
This is Number 6, host of the Six of One show, and I'm grateful that so many of you have donated to help keep the lights on here at RFD. If you love the programming on this network, I hope you'll consider making a donation. Now, we know what it's like to live on the brink of poverty, and we don't want any of our listeners to make their situations worse. But some of you folks have jobs, and even $5 a month from enough people will go a long way towards defraying costs. $50 a month would go even further. So, if you value the teaching, or you just happen to be in a generous mood, head on over to dishnuts.net on the web and make a one-time or recurring donation. And I'll thank you for your service.
And now, Mandatory Mail on the next show.
I'm John Mayall. I'd like to welcome you to johnmayall.com and the first in a series of rare live performances from my private stash. This particular CD contains the very earliest surviving taped relics from my collection. And I must warn you up front that the sound quality is really atrocious, but in view of its historical significance, it's absolutely all there is to illustrate what the much written about groups of the Powerhouse Four and the Blues Syndicate were all about. So step into this time capsule as we go back to Manchester Regional College of Art, where in 1957 I formed a music alliance with Pete Ward on drums and Ricky Bleers on upright string bass for some lunchtime boogie-woogie in the lecture hall, which nobody quite understood at that time except us, of course.
Thank you. Manufacturers are comfortable. Boycott at the market. Containers that are non-returnable. Aluminum, glass, and plastic. Eternal waste that's not destructible. That may live out our natural time. But as for all our children, born to suffocate humans' lives. Nature's disappearing. those massive crimes.
There, I got it right. Just heard Mandatory Mail. Three songs by the late John Mayall. That was John Mayall's Bluesbreakers and The Laws Must Change from Behind the Iron Curtain. Released in 1985. It's kind of weird. Before that, we heard John Mayall and Nature's Disappearance. From Union, released on Polydor Records in 1970. And we started things off with John Mayall again and Art School Boogie from the compilation album Time Capsule, which is like a compilation of songs that he recorded. See, the only recordings of the Powerhouse 4 from 1957, and the Blue Syndicate from 1962. So yeah. Anyway, those are Mandatory Mail. Oh, by the way, if you want to join us in the IRC, you can join us at gamer.ehh.us, channel pound Skyscanner. You can also join us on the web at sixesrecordparty.com. Well, not Sixes Records. See, I haven't slept for about, like, 24 hours. So, yes, it's kind of understandable that I would screw things up like that. Yeah, you can join us at thenextshow.com. Replace the O with a zero. Foreign playlist and show archives. So yeah, the archives will be uploaded immediately. If the show ends, the playlist will not be up there for about 24 hours or so. I'm probably going to go an extra hour here. Because we need to play some Thanksgiving music for everybody. So anyway, let's see what we're playing here. Oh yeah, so we're playing the Hold Steady, which I pressed to do the intro here.
And now the featured artist segment on the next show.
The featured artist is the Hold Steady. And last I checked, we were up to like 2008. Get rid of this. We're up to Stay Positive, released July 15th, 2008, and playing songs off of that. We played last week. We played a Joke About Jamaica. So this week we're gonna play something a little different. Here's the Hold Steady with the first song off of Stay Positive. It's called Constructive Summer. Future Arts is the Hold Steady on the next show.
The mill, a million die. What's the mill, a man you die? Yeah, Molly.
heard two songs by the Hold Steady. That was Slapped Actress, and we started things off with Constructive Summer. Both of those were from Stay Positive, released on Vagrant Records in 2008. That was from the 2018 remaster. So anyway, this brings us to their next album, which is Heaven Is Whenever, released on May 4th, 2010. Also on Vagrant Records. I got to... There we go. On CD and vinyl. But anyway, we're moving to the song from this album. Here's The Hold Steady and The Smidge.
Keep song about a pure and simple love. There's a girl on heaven hill. I come up to her cabin still. She said, who's good to God's use? But they started in St. Paul. Do you remember? Makes no sense at all. And heaven is the whole of the heart. And paradise is by the dashboard light. Utopia's a band. They sang love is the answer. And I think they'll probably rhyme. Let it shine down on us all. Let it warm us from within. He wasn't just a drummer. He was the singer's younger brother. I still spin that single, but it don't sound that simple. Let it shine down on us all. Let it warm us from within. He wasn't just a drummer, he was someone's little brother. I still spin that single, but it don't sound that simple anymore.
These are two songs by The Hold Steady. That was We Can Get Together, and we started things off with The Smidge. Both of those were from Heaven Is Whenever, released on Vagrant Records in 2010. So anyway, on January 20th, 2010, Franz Nicolai confirmed on the official website that he left the band. On his departure, Finn said, Franz is a really ambitious guy, and I think he wanted to do a lot of different things. And we want to really follow this one whole steady thing to its logical end. And it takes up a lot of time. It was an amicable departure, and I think we wish him all the best. He'll do a lot of interesting, cool things. Then they released Heaven Is Whenever on, was it, May 4th, 2010, they next added, Stephen Selvage to the band on, he, joined them on a tour for Heaven Is Whenever, and they announced them, as part of the official Hold Steady lineup on in 2011. So this brings us to 2014 and the release of their next album. Well, actually March 2014 and their next album, Teeth Dreams. So let's listen to the track from that. Here's the Hold Steady again. And I hope this whole thing didn't frighten you. Featured artist is the Hold Steady on the next show.
I can tell the soul.
right, that was Hold Steady, and I hope that whole thing didn't frighten you. From Teeth Dreams, released in 2014, that was on Washington Square and / Razor and Tie Records. Let's see, I'm just trying to look up Razor and Tie Records. Razor and Tie was an American entertainment company that consisted of a record label and music publishing company. It was established in 1990 by Craig Balsam and Cliff Renfield. Based in New York City with digital offices in Los Angeles and Nashville, the Razor and Tie releases were distributed by Universal Music Group. Concord fully acquired Razor and Tie on January 27th, 2018. As of May 2018, Razor and Tie became an imprint of Concord Music's Fearless Records label. It was founded in 1990, defunct in 2018. Anyway, it's 3 minutes past the hour, so I'm probably going to go like another hour, just because we haven't played a lot of the Thanksgiving music. My right calf is cramping. I wonder if my potassium is down in places. Yes. By the way, if you want to join us in the IRC, you can join us at gamebird.ehhh.us, channel pound Skyscanner. You can also join us at thenextshow.com. Replace the O with a zero for playlist and show archives. The archives will be uploaded almost after the show ends. The playlist will not be able to do it for about 24 hours or so. But anyway, we're going to do top of the hour ID. So you've survived hour number three of this week's The Next Show. We'll be back with hour number four of the show, featuring our special Thanksgiving set of music. And we'll probably go into like the holiday. It's like almost Christmas, so we can go into like Christmas music too. We'll have that right after this.
Was that six last week?
The Next Show on Radio 3 Digital.
I love you, Dish Nuts, because when we first started Tech TV in 1998, that was about the only people who could watch. Radio Free Dish Nuts. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
This is RFD.
One red Solo cup.
Red Solo cup.
One slightly illegal transmitter. And one homebrew antenna. Live from Minneapolis, Minnesota, you're listening to Radio Free Solo Cup.
Do you need a promo for your show? Contact Byron Lee Productions. Amazing single track editing and eventual peakish delivery.
This song is corny and trite. Slick is like wink, but not quite.
If you have that swirly feeling and you just don't feel right in the bathtub, Dish Nuts Proud Products has something new just for you. It's the RRD, the Ringo Rubber Ducky. Put it into your tub with your bath water, and the Ringo Rubber Ducky will make bath time an amazing, interesting experience. the Ringo Rubber Ducky for Bath Time Entertainment. Available from Dish Nuts Products with fine sheepish delivery. That's the Ringo Rubber Ducky. Splash one today.
Before, I know I have. This song is called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant was never the name of a restaurant. That was always just the name of this song. And I guess that, well, that's probably why I still call this song Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. I wasn't gonna sing the song tonight or this decade, but I realized sometime earlier this year that it had been 26 years since this came out as a movie, and it was 2 years before that that it came out as a record, and it was 2 years ago on the record, which means it was like 30 Thanksgivings ago, 30 years ago on Thanksgiving, when my friend and I decided to go up and visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice didn't used to live in a restaurant. She used to live in the church nearby the restaurant, in the bell tower, with her husband Ray and Facha the dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they used to have a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. Seeing as how they took out all of the pews and having all that room, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, found the place was filled with garbage, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the town dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the town dump. We got there. There was a sign, a chain across the road, and the sign said, "Closed on Thanksgiving." We had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before. And so with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset, looking for another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one until we come to a side road. And off of the side of the side road, there was a 15-foot cliff. And at the bottom of the cliff, there was another pile of garbage. We decided that one big pile would be better than two little ones, and rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning, when we got a phone call from Officer Obie. He said, "Kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage. Just wanted to know if you had any information about it." And I said, "Yes, sir, Officer Obi. I cannot tell a lie. I put that envelope under that garbage." It was after speaking to Obi for about 45 minutes on the telephone that we finally arrived at the truth of the matter. And Obi said we had to go down and pick up the garbage, and we also had to go down and talk to him at the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one of two things that Obi could have done at the police officer station. The first thing was he could have given us a medal for being so brave and honest on the telephone, which wasn't very likely. Hey, we didn't expect it. The other possibility was he could have bawled us out and told us never to be seen driving garbage around the vicinity again, which is what we expected. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that we hadn't counted on. we was both immediately arrested, handcuffed. And I said, Obi, I don't think I can pick up the garbage with some handcuffs on. He said, shut up, kid. Get in the back of the patrol car. And we sat in the back of the patrol car and drove to the, quote, scene of the crime, unquote. Friends, I want to tell you about the town of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where this was happening. They got 3 stop signs, 2 police officers, and 1 police car. But when we got to the scene of the crime, there was 5 police officers and 3 police cars, seeing the biggest crime of the last 50 years, and everybody wanted to get in the newspaper story about it, and they was using up all kinds of cop equipment they had hanging around the police officer station. They was taking plaster, tire track, footprints, dog smelling prints. They took 27 8x10 color glossy pictures with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. They took pictures of the approach, the getaway, the northwest corner and the southwest corner, and that's not to mention the aerial photography. And it was after the ordeal, we went back to the jail. Obi said he was going to put us in a cell. He said, kid, I'm going to put you in a cell. Give me your wallet and your belt. And I said, Obi, I can understand you wanting my wallet, so I don't have any money to spend in a cell, but what do you want my belt for? And he said, kid, we don't want any hangings. And I said, Obi, did you think I was going to hang myself for littering? Obi said he was making sure, and friends, Obi was, because he took out the toilet seat so I couldn't hit myself over the head and drown. Took out the toilet paper so I couldn't bend the bars. Roll the toilet paper out the window, slide down the roll, have an escape and get away. Obi was making sure, all right. And it was about 4 or 5 hours later that Alice, remember Alice? And still the song about Alice. And anyway, Alice come by, and with a few nasty words to Obi on the side, she bailed us out of jail. We went back to the church, had another Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat. Went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning, when we all had to go to court. We walked in, sat down. Obi come in with the 27 8x10 color glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. And he sat down. A man come in. He said, all right. And we stood up, and Obi stood up with the 27 8x10 color glossy pictures, and the judge walked in with a CNI dog. Sat down. We sat down. Obi looked at the CNI dog, and then at the 27 8x10 color glossy pictures, and looked at the CNI dog, and Obi began to cry, because Obi come to the realization that this was a typical case of American blind justice, and there was no way the judge was going to look at the 27 8x10. Well, it didn't matter, because we was fined $25 each, and we had to pick up the garbage in the snow. That's not really what I come to talk about so much. I just thought I'd mention it, because I know there's probably some people sitting here tonight thinking this is some kind of nostalgic ballad or something, and I hope so. You never know, they still got that building down in New York City on Whitehall Street, and others like it all around America, and that's where you used to have to go get injected, inspected, detected, infected, neglected, and selected. And I remember I had to go in there one morning a long time ago for a physical examination, so I got good and drunk the night before, because I wanted to feel my best when I went in that morning. I mean, I wanted to feel, I wanted to look, I wanted to be like the all-American kid. And when I went in that morning, I was hung down, I was brung down, I was hung up. I was all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly-looking things. I walked in, I sat down. Give me a piece of paper. I said, kid, see the psychiatrist, room 604. went up there. I said, Shrink, I want to kill. I mean, I want to kill. I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth. Eat dead bird bodies. I mean, kill, 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 kill. And I started jumping up and down, yelling, kill, kill. And he started jumping up and down with me. And we was both jumping up and down, yelling, kill, 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 kill. Till the sergeant come over, pinned the medal on me, sent me down the hall, said, you're our boy. I didn't feel real good about it, right? I proceeded on down the hall, getting more injections, inspections, and all kinds of stuff that they was doing to me at the thing there. I was there for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. I was there for a long time, going through all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. They was inspecting, injecting every single part of me, and they was leaving no parts untouched. But I proceeded through until I finally come to see the very last man. I walked up. I said, what do you want to see me about? He said, kid, we only have one more question. Have you ever been arrested? And I told him the story of Alice's Restaurant Massacre with five-part harmony, full orchestration, all kinds of the phenomenon. He stopped me right there. He said, kid, did you go to court? And I told him the story of the 27 8x10 color glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and the paragraph on the back of each one. He stopped me again. He said, kid, I want you to go over, sit down on that bench that says Group W. Now, kid. I went over there. Group W. Group W is where they used to put you if you may not have been moral enough to join the army after committing your special crime. And there was all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly looking people on the bench. There was mother rapers and father stabbers. And father rapers. I mean, there was father rapers sitting there on the bench next to me. I mean, it was mean, nasty, ugly, horrible, crime-fighting guys. And the meanest, ugliest, nastiest one, the meanest father raper of them all, was coming over to me, and he sat down next to me and said, kid, what'd you get? I said, I didn't get nothing. I had to pay $25 and pick up the garbage. He said, kid, what was you arrested for? I said, littering. They all moved away from me on the bench there until I said, and creating a nuisance. And then they all come back and shook my hand. And we had a great time on the bench talking about crime, mother stabbing, father raping. We were smoking cigarettes and all kinds of stuff, having a good time. Till the sergeant come over, had some paper in his hand. He held it up. He went like this. He said, get this piece of paper, say 37 words for them, that says, well, no time to crime, you tell crime, I got a thing to say, but can't tune about the crime, the rest of his name kind of thing, got to say, and he talked for 45 minutes, but nobody understood a word he said. But we had fun filling out the forms and playing with the pencils on the bench. And I wrote down the massacre like I was supposed to, and I put down my pencil, turned over the piece of paper. There on the other side of that piece of paper, in the middle of the other side, underlined and capitalized, away from everything else on the other side, read the following words. Kid, have you rehabilitated yourself? I went over to the sergeant. I said, sergeant, you got a lot of damn gall to ask me if I've rehabilitated myself. I mean, I'm sitting here on the Group W bench. I'm sitting here on the Group W bench because you want to know if I'm moral enough to join the army, burn women, kids, houses, children, villages after being a litter bug. He said, kid, we don't like your kind. We're going to send your fingerprints off to Washington. And friends, somewhere in Washington, enshrined in a little folder, is a study in black and white of my fingerprints. they're still there. The only reason I'm singing you the song tonight is because you may know somebody in a similar situation sometime. Even some of you could be in a situation like it sometime sooner than you're sitting here thinking about right now. If you ever find yourself in a situation like that and you don't know what to do, there may be only one thing that, well, there may not actually be a hell of a lot you can do at all, but just something you can try. And that's to be wherever it is you're supposed to be. You just go down there, you sit there, you ask to see the shrink, you go up there, you say like, oh, shrink, excuse me, man, but you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant and walk out. Imagine one person, I mean, even today, walking in, singing some Alice's restaurant, walking out. They're going to say, hey, that guy's 30 years too late. Get that guy out of here. Imagine two of them walking in hand, singing in harmony. I don't care what the president says. Unfortunately, to a lot of people, that's still a problem. Imagine three of them. You might think of some kind of organization or something. So you can imagine like 50 people, maybe 50 people a day walking in, singing some Alice's restaurant, walking out. Friends, they might think it's a movement. And most of them be too young to know what a movement was. That's what it was. It was the Alice's restaurant anti-massacre movement. That's what it was, and that's what it is. And I guess that's what it's always gonna be. And all you've got to do to join is to sing it with me as it comes around again on the guitar. With feeling. You can't get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. No. You can't start singing loud just at the end if I quit singing. You would have thought after all this time, you'd have learned by now. If you want to end war and stuff, you've got to learn to sing loud all the time so people can hear you. Now, I know this is a long song. Believe me, I know how long it is. Even on the record, when it come out, it was pretty long. What, 18 minutes, like I said, or something. And I'm not sitting here trying to make it any longer, but I can feel it. I know there's people sitting in this very room tonight that don't believe that songs can change the world, or that songs can change the destiny of nations. I don't blame you. I wouldn't have thought so myself. Of course, I know something that some of you may not know. But I was reminded of it during the last election. See, I remembered back when Jimmy Carter was elected president, because I got an invitation to his inauguration, and I knew I had to go, because I knew it'd be the only one I ever got. Been right so far. But I went down to Washington, D.C. I'm not making this up now. This is real. I went down to Washington, and it's just like you see on TV, people partying and stuff. And everything was fine until along toward evening. Somebody come around, tapped me on the shoulder, and I turned around. And it was Chip Carter, the president's son. I said, hi, Chip. I recognized him. He was about my age. He said, Arlo, I've been looking everywhere for you. I said, Chip, how come? He said, Arlo, I've got something very important to tell you. Not to Chip. What is it? He said, Arlo, we were moving our stuff into the White House, and in the Nixon Record Library, we found a copy of your record, Alice's Restaurant. I looked at Chip Carter. I looked deep into the man's soul. I said, Chip, was it open? And in slow motion, he nodded, yes, it had been opened. And I want you folks sitting here tonight to know that I did not think about that for a long time. Until just recently, when we was all thinking about Richard Nixon when he passed away. And I see some young people here that may not know. See, but Richard Nixon was the president of the United States. And he used to like to take stuff. I mean, if you can imagine a world before VCRs and cassette decks was everywhere, you can imagine a man who was truly ahead of his time. He taped everything that went on in the White House, and everything was fine until one day they started playing back the tapes. People found out what was going on in there. But it wasn't anything that was on any tape that got the man in trouble, so much as it was what he had erased from the tapes. And there was one particular famous gap in one of those tapes that I was thinking about one night when I said to myself, Arlong, how many things in the world are 18 minutes and 20 seconds long? Well, how many things in the world are exactly 18 minutes and 20 seconds long? Probably just a coincidence. But it's good enough for me. So when the song comes around again on the guitar, remember that songs can change the destiny of nations, even if it's only by coincidence. You just have to know the words, have the feeling, and wait for it to come around again on the guitar. You can't get anything you want at Alice Express, except in L.A. You can't get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. You can't get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Da 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 da. At Alice's restaurant.
By now, the white man has arrived in great numbers, not only at Miami, but at Jamestown, at Plymouth, and at Salem, Massachusetts. The Puritans have established a thriving colony, enjoying all the social and cultural refinements of a modern society.
Hiya, Harv. Who are you taking to the witch burning Saturday night?
Prudence Adams. Who are you taking to the Rotary Club luncheon?
I haven't got a date yet, but I hear it's going to be quite a spread.
Well, Mayor Pennypacker, how's it look for re-election?
Great, great, great. Never looked better.
Yeah, what about the Indian vote?
What do you mean by that?
Well, you're not too popular with the Indians. They could lose you the election.
That's possible.
Well, they outnumber us.
Well, that's the trouble. You give them an inch and they take over.
But, Mayor, they were here before we were. We moved in on them.
So we did. Well, there's just something about them. They wear funny shoes. They don't even have buckles on them.
Be that as it may, election is Friday. You better make some gesture this week.
Like what?
Well, how about if you make a concession and pick an Indian as a running mate? You'd be sure to carry the Indian block.
What? Anything happened to me, you'd have a mayor that wasn't a Puritan. He'd probably take orders directly from Chief Powhatan.
Yeah.
Say, I got it. The big luncheon tomorrow. The one under the tree.
What about it?
We'll ask an Indian. That'll impress the rest of them.
We could even announce you're going to put one in your cabinet.
No need to go that far. Just have one to lunch.
It'll be great press.
Mayor Pennypacker comes out for equality. Justice. Votes. What a slogan. Take an Indian to lunch this week. Show him we're a regular bunch this week. Show him we're as liberal as can be. Let him know he's almost as good as we. Make a feathered friend feel fed this week. Overlook the the fact he's red this week. Let him share our Quaker oats, 'cause he's useful when he votes. Take an Indian to lunch.
2, 4, 6, 8, who do we tolerate? Indians, Indians, rah, rah, rah. Take an Indian to lunch this week. Let him sit right down and munch this week.
Let's give in and all do the brotherhood bit. Just make sure we don't make a habit of it. Take an Indian to dine this week. Show him we don't draw the line this week. We know everyone can't be as American as we. After all, we came over on the Mayflower. Take an Indian, not a wooden Indian, but a real life Indian to lunch.
Yeah.
Needless to say, the luncheon there under the trees was a great success, and a good time was had by Puritans and Indian alike. Everything came off beautifully, with the exception of one minor catastrophe.
What do you mean you cooked the turkey, Charlie?
Well, I cooked the turkey, that's all.
You put our national bird in the oven, is that correct?
Yeah, well,
and
I...
all of us had our mouth set for roast eagle with all the trimming.
Yeah, well, I...
You did a thing like that?
Well, the two birds were lying there side by side.
The turkey was for the centerpiece, Charlie. I mean...
Well, they look so much alike
we blew it now. They're all sitting down at the table out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Started on their little nut cups. Already. We just have to switch the birds, that's all.
Yeah, well...
Serve them turkey instead of eagle. But it's kind of scrawny looking, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I thought I'd stuff some old bread in it and make it look a little fatter.
You do that, okay?
Okay.
Okay, here's another holiday thing. This song is called Thanksgiving. We're just moving back in time. Lord, every year we gather here eat around this table. Give us the strength to stomach as much as fast as we are able. Bless this food to our use, though.
communication's useless. Don't let me drink too much wine. Lord, you know how I get ruthless. Let us somehow get through this meal without that bad old feeling, with history and memory and home cooking we're dealing. Remind us that we're all grown up, adults no longer children. Now it's our kids that spill the milk, and our turn to want to kill them. I look around and recognize a sister and a brother. We rarely see our parents now. We hardly see each other. On this auspicious occasion, this special family dinner, if I argue with a loved one, Lord, please make me the winner. All this food looks and smells so good, but I can hardly taste it. The sense of something has been lost. There's no way to replace it. After the meal, switch on the game. It's just a few more seconds. But I'm so tired, I need a nap. The guest bedroom bed beckons. I fall asleep, I have a dream. In it is the family. Nothing bad has happened yet, and everyone is happy. Mother and father, both still young, and naturally they love us. We're all lying on a lawn at night, watching the stars above us. Lord, every year we gather here to eat around this table. Give us the strength to stomach as much as fast as we are able.
Bears.
Today's a Macy's Day Parade. The night of the living dead is on its way. With the credit report for duty call. It's a lifetime guarantee. Stuffed in a coffin, 10% more free. Red light special at the mausoleum.
I guess now we can step into Christmas.
Thank you. years, and I don't play much basketball. But there's something kind of special that I want most of all. I want an alien for Christmas. We need an alien this year. I want a little green guy about 3 feet high with 17 eyes who knows how to fly. I want an alien for Christmas this year. You can live in the bathtub, so don't worry about a thing. And I'll take him out for walks when it gets nicer in the spring. I'll always keep him company, he'll never be alone. And we can hang around the house all day and watch the twilight zone. I want an alien for Christmas. We need an alien this year. I want a little green guy about 3 feet high. 17 eyes, if you know how to fly. I want an alien for Christmas this year.
Christmas, and before that we had just another Christmas song and a whole bunch of Thanksgiving songs, starting off with Alice's Restaurant, Massacre Revisited. That just about does it for this show. It's like now it's 1 minute past the hour, so we probably should close up shop here. So I guess Eric and Ernie are gonna play us out of here. Out. Yeah, why not? So anyway, that's it for the show. Stay tuned for a replay of Club Impaler Overnight. So a Bradley Impaler replay from years past. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy that can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Live me happy. Anyway, next live show on RFD will be the Tom and Daryl afternoon show. And after that, you have The World According to Clay and Rachy. And after that, what do you get? You get a Pemberton show. Give me back my 70s, or something like that. But anyway, that's the live content for tomorrow.
Be more happiness, so much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow.
So that's it for the show. By the way, you can join us at thenextshow.com. Replace the O with a zero. Or play Legend Show Archives. The archives will be uploaded over to me as the show ends. The playlist will not be updated for about 24 hours or so. You can also join us at lowbudgetreviews.com for lowbudget DVD and Blu-ray reviews. Until next week, this is number 6, reminding you to lather, rinse, repeat, do something with those fingernails, and oh yes, drive safely and drink milk. Thanks for listening, everyone, and listen to goodbye, 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 goodbye. Goodbye.